Hello again and welcome to another episode of BitNote. We'll be talking about video games and playing the music from these games. I hope you enjoy. So, how is everyone? I hope you're all doing well. I can't actually hear your reply because of the fact that I'm on the radio, but ah well, I am still concerned with how you're feeling, and I do hope you're doing well. But enough of that, let's just play some music. Now, last episode, I played some music from Microsoft Windows. This kind of broke with my theme of playing music from an actual video games and instead playing it more from software. But however, it got me thinking. If I was going to start playing music from that came with electronic devices as opposed to video games in general, where else could I go with this? And suddenly, I think I had the answer. What I'm about to play with you right now is actually a piece of music that came with an MP3 player. This was back when MP3 players were still standalone devices and they weren't integrated into practically every other piece of electronic device known to man. I mean, I've got an e-reader that's got an MP3 player built into it, so the idea of having a single device solely dedicated towards MP3 playing isn't exactly a very modern one. But, however, of course, there was a time when MP3 wars were big, and indeed that's when Apple came out with their iPod and started their quest for global domination. Well, I mean, they started a lot earlier, but that was like their first serious jolt in that direction. And, of course, everyone was having iPods and MP3 players were the thing. And, of course, there were a lot of competitors. Now, of course, me, going against the grain that I did, steadfastly refused to get an iPod. Not only did I actually want to resist the trend that I could see so clearly in front of me, but I also had the practical sense that any technical savvy person could have that iPods just didn't give you the amount of features that you wanted for the amount of money they were asking. In other words, a lot of it was just the brand. I mean, I played one, they had nice design, and I actually kind of liked how easy they made navigating and playing songs. But, you know, I wanted something that just, you know, geeky. I wanted something that, like, had the features and the power and everything else. So I did some my online research, I looked around, I checked out places, and I got an MP3 player that I was happy with. And, before I go into more detail about it, this is the song that came preloaded on that very MP3 I bought. Have a listen. So, short but sweet, that was, like I said, the tune that came with the iRiver H320, the MP3 player I bought. The thing was pretty bulky, and the user interface was kind of a bit of a mess. In fact, people would later on, and hackers would go along and develop their own like entire version of the interface for that device, which you could download and install on it, which just shows the following it had. But the thing was powerful. It could play some basic videos, all right, but it could listen to the radio, it could... Of course, all your MP3s. It had 20 gigabytes of storage, which is still a fair bit for just purely MP3s, unless you're really serious about your music. And you could record not just immediately or from an inputted microphone, but you could also record straight songs directly from the radio, which is kind of what I did, because that way, if I wanted to ever get the MP3 myself, I could just record it instantly from the radio and then have it stored up. And it took so many times, I just took notes when I was either in a lecture or a talk, I just set it to record, and I just knew that the great big memory would be able to deal with all the recordings I had. And it even got pretty techy. You could even like get a USB device, and by using a USB on the go thing, you could like have the MP3 player directly read to the USB thumb drive, which was pretty cool. But like I said, for a nice techy, geeky, you know, feature rich MP3 playing gadget, I was pretty happy with it. So I was kind of sad when the radio on the thing started breaking down and everything, but then again, it was always a little bulky in my pocket, but It was a fun little device. All right, maybe now I'll try to actually move on to some game music, if that sounds like a good idea. Although I will stay, this show is called BitNote. Bit is more about technological, not necessarily game. If it was GameNote, then you could crucify me all you want. But at least the show gives me some credibility to say that, you know, these sort of little tangents are valid. Not that any of you really mind or anything like that, but let's move on. So, going back to actually getting music from actual games. Yeah, drop the bomb. Just drop the bomb. Yeah, drop the bomb. Just drop the bomb. Get a sick and tired of fossil like system. Now and never is the time to resist. It's easy to blast you all away. Put a trigger press about the same adios to today. Don't get me wrong, I'm a pacifist. The mind can't do more than fist. Explosives aren't all what it takes. You know the terrorists always make these mistakes. What we gotta do is build momentum. If you need the right tools, invent them. Ride the wave of time, copy the rhythm. The march, the features, we gotta get with them. The brain is the generator, almighty power. Either do it now, your massive mind goes sour. Yeah, it's already to take that fall. It's up to you to make that call to drop the bomb. Yeah, drop the bomb. Just drop the bomb. Let me see that bomb. Momentum. If you need the right tools, invent them. Ride the wave of time, comfy the rhythm. The march to the future's begun, get with it. Your brain is staring, almighty power. Either do it now, your master plan goes sour. Yeah, it's already to take that fall, and it's up to you to make that call. And if it don't work, make the real thing, wipe it out. So drop the bomb. Yeah, drop the bomb. And that tune right there was Drop the Bomb by Scotty D. It is from Dance Dance Revolution by Konami. Scotty D is an American songwriter, and Dance Dance Revolution is a pretty awesome, generally arcade game, which most of you probably already know about. I mean, you know, normally in this show I'm like introducing you to all these cool little games that, you know, maybe you never heard of before or interested to hear about, but no, Dance Dance Revolution is one thing that even casual people know how to, even who casual about games know about and like playing. Essentially, it's very, very simple. You've got four buttons on the ground, one in front of you, one behind you, one to the left, one to the right, and then a bunch of arrows scroll through the screen towards all these markers at the top of the screen. And when that arrow hits the top, you got to hit the corresponding arrow on the ground with your foot. And naturally, it doesn't quite lead to dancing in the largest sense of the word, but suddenly you're going around hitting each arrow with your foot just in time in the combination. And the first time you do it, you mightn't do so well, but after more and more practice, it's just fun. I mean, Dance Dance Revolution is just a great selection of tracks. It's energetic, and it's actually one of the few healthy ones. I've heard, like, in America and the UK, certain schools have actually bought Dance Dance Revolution machines to bring into their schools to get people to play them. Because, you know, if people are just running laps around the course, you know, that's just getting tiring and they don't like it. But if there's a nice rhythmic tune going up and all the arrows are going, then they just push themselves. And it's like, it's a whole workout, but more importantly, it's fun and it's energetic and there's a lot of great music to it. A lot of great music from Dance Dance Revolution comes from existing bands or obscure ones, but some of it comes from Konami in-house. And, you know, whatever tracks you're listening to it, there's some good stuff to listen to. I'm going to play another song. We'll be right back. And the title of that track was, unsurprisingly, I Feel. And it was composed by Akira Yamaoke. He worked with Konami, or did, when he was composing that. So it was in-house by Konami. But Akira has a bit of a history with their video game composition tunes. He composed music for a lot of the Silent Hill games, and also for the original and a recent remake version of Sparkstar, Rocket Knight Adventures. So that's pretty cool. I think most recently he made music for Sign Mora, which is a game I'm thinking of playing music from on this show sometime soon. We'll see how it goes. So yeah, that's kind of like a lot of the music in Dance Dance Revolution. A lot of it's like quick and high paced, and while a lot of it like is licensed and some good stuff like Never Ending Story or Cotton Eye Joe and some other great air. I think I played some Steps music as well, so kind of a bit of pop things. I know it's great for the way it mixes up. There are a couple of songs you know and are familiar with, and a lot of other weird sort of Japanesey songs, and a lot of other crazy stuff like that, which almost seems poppy and fluffy. There's also a fair bit of European songs there as well from various bands, so it's really a nice mix, and the really only best way to experience it is to play it for yourself. Just get versions of DDR. Sometimes you'll have to go to the arcades. There's still a few around. Or just try to get the music CDs of it, which are available in some places. But it's quite a nice mix. And honestly, there's no better way of interacting with the music than just desperately trying to type out the steps, doing as best as you can, and having a guy in the background yell out phrases like, "You're not an ordinary person." And if you do well, he goes, "I'm crying, buckets of tears." There's just so many versions of Dance Dance Revolution. I lost track quite a while back. But I think I'll play one more track of from Dance Dance Revolution just to keep you all satiated. I can just imagine that there are a ton of people here that are just Dance Dance fans and just saying, "Oh, I'm missing out this track or that track." Well, listen, I'm sorry. There's such a gigantic catalogue of Dance Dance Revolution music. It's impossible just to choose a couple. I mean, even if you stay away from the stuff that was just pop music brought into Dance Dance Revolution, there's still a ton of music that's just I can barely even touch. But there is going to be one track I'm going to play for you now. It's a remix of an old song. The original song was Winter from The Four Seasons, which was, of course, composed by Antonio Vivaldi. And this was remixed by a guy called Taka, and given the new name V4Extreme. Now, you might wonder why I'm actually bringing up this remix. Well, because it's kind of an interesting question. I basically was looking through all the songs of Dance Dance Revolution, and as you know, there's several different skill levels. There's, you know, beginner, you know, there's usually a novice and a medium and a hard, but there's often also an extreme version. I mean, for me, I can usually hit medium on a good day, and sometimes in hard I can give it a shot, but all the songs are different skill levels, and you have to realize your legs are like flying from place to place. If this was a case of just a couple of different buttons and you had to move your thumb between the buttons fast enough, that'd be one thing. You have to get your entire body flying around, moving your feet right into the right position at the right time. And what's more, you have to keep ahead and look ahead. I mean, if two arrows are coming up, one for left and one for right, and they hit the same time, you need to make sure you jump so you land and hit the two arrows at the same time, and then move and swivel your body in the right position. And if you end up with your legs in an awkward position, you might suddenly find out that it's a little like a sudden fast-paced game of Twister. You need to move your feet into awkward positions. In other words, with Dance Dance Revolution, you need a huge amount of skill, you need to look ahead, and you need incredibly fast reactions, especially at the higher skill level. But in order to show you how high the skill level can go, and like I said, an easier skill level, you can get anyone playing it, but for the extreme ones, the ones who really put in the time and effort, at the extreme level, you basically have just got a storm of arrows. I mean, most people, even if they had buttons, most people couldn't even like process them. It's just a flurry of arrows flying up, and to know they have to, for each arrow, your foot has to be in a specific position at a specific time. It just gets frantic. Incredible time incredible time and effort and practice needs to be put in to build up the skill needed for this. And this is where Antonio Vivaldi comes in. You see, if you think about it, Antonio's pieces, of course, were played for the piano. So these were highly skilled compositions. These were basically, people who were skilled pianists sitting down, hitting a set of keys in the right sequence at the right time. So you see sort of a parallel. I mean, obviously, playing the piano is also a lot about, emotion and trying to get expression in a lot of different disciplines. But of course, at the core of it, playing the piano is about skill, being able to play all the keys and pieces. So when people took this classic song, made it even a bit faster, and then said, okay, instead of playing it with your fingers, you'll be playing it with your legs, suddenly something goes. I mean, yeah, the easier difficulty levels, sure. But I mean, at the higher difficulty levels, at the extreme difficulty levels, well, let's just say when you play the song, just try to imagine someone moving their legs, trying to put their foot down for pretty much every single beat or note in this thing, and it just gets frantic. I mean, I fully admire the people who are willing to put in the skill and effort to put this thing in. They must be in incredible shape in order to basically play the piano with their feet. But with all that said, let's play the piano and just enjoy the song. As I said, this is V for Extreme by Taka, originally Winter by Antonio Vivaldi. So I think it's time to move on to a different game music now. I was kind of wondering what sort of track would work best, but then suddenly one of my friends online suddenly played a track from a video game that I felt was worth repeating. Sometimes I play a track and say, can you guess? But this is one of those tracks where even if you don't actually know anything about the video game, you could still make an intelligent guess about what the game's title is. So I think I'll just play it right now. So, in case you haven't guessed, that was from Daytona, USA by Sega. The music you just heard was Let's Go Away by Takenobu Mitsuyoshi. Now, that music was actually the attract mode. Daytona was released around 1994 in the arcades, and it was primarily an arcade game. You go in, you put in your money, and you do your best to try to win a bunch of races. You'd be in this bright-colored car called, you know, stock car, which was always called the Hornet, and you'd drive around these circuits, just doing your best you could to get by all the competition and get it to this finishing line first. Everything about the game was bright and colorful. The cars, the blue sky, the green fields, and it just had a really nice energy to the whole thing. And of course, it was slightly surreal too. I mean, I think at one stage your car goes right under a gigantic cliff that's got a relief carving of Sonic the Hedgehog on it. So, letting you know that, yes, this is a Sega game. Everything, as you can see, the music was bright, colorful, and energetic, too. The thing about that music you just heard, though, was it wasn't just played when you play the video game. You see, if you're familiar at all with arcade machines, they spend a lot of time not being played. They just stand there, and they need to do something to they need to do something while people aren't going around. So like any intelligent arcade machine, they'll show clips of the game and they'll show exciting scenes and just basically try to attract people. Basically advertise themselves so that people will look at the gameplay going on the screen and say, hey, I'd like to give that game a go. Walk up, put in their money and play a game. So essentially, they need to do a lot of stuff they can to attract people. So of course, that's where that song came in. As well as just showing these beautiful things of all the stock cars racing around the arcade thing. I mean, back then, 3D graphics with full pictures and everything. This was normally good. This wasn't just like flat polygons of single colors, you know, and everything like a red car. Now this was a full textured car and everything. And this whole, the bright colors and the bright visuals was attracting everyone's attention. So essentially, not only were they using the 3D, so they were also using that song. That song you just heard was playing while the arcade machine was trying to attract people. So that means that even if you've never actually played the song, if you've hung around any arcades in the 90s or any arcades that have a lot of 90s arcade cabinets in it, then you'll recognize that song because suddenly you'll be looking around, you'll be looking at maybe some arcade machine for like maybe Time Crisis or some other game, and suddenly you'd hear in the background, Daytona, and then your interest will be perked and hopefully you just look around, sit down, put in the money and start playing. At least that's the idea as well. You know, a lot of people really love those sort of games. I actually heard recently there's basically this game that this guy is developing, and it is literally called 90s Arcade Racer. Specifically because he loved the vibrant and bright visuals and energy and just sense of fun that came from 90s arcade racing games, such as Daytona. In fact, one of the cars that he's got in the game is kind of a reference to this. I mean, the car in the game looks a lot like the Hornet. And I mean, it's hard to blame him because the Hornet, for such a simple thing, it's very iconic. Essentially, like I said, it's a stock car. It's got a blue and red paint job, got the big number 41 and big yellow letters. And it's just fun to drive and was from a fun game. But it seems to have popped up in a lot of other places. For a start, the recent release Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing Transformed, the Hornet pops up there as well. And not just in Sega games either, it popped up in Ridge Racer as well, with the guy who composed the track for Daytona actually doing a custom track for Ridge Racer, basically using the term Ridge Racer instead of the Daytona name there that in that song I just used, but, you know, a different version and everything. And get this, the Hornet also showed up in Sega Fighters Mega Mix on the Sega Saturn. This is a fighting game. This is a game normally when you've got two people facing off and you press buttons to have them kick and punch each other, and yet the Hornet shows up. A big car, basically trying to box, fight, and kick all the other things. So clearly a lot of people love the Hornet. Well, this has been David Collins with BitNote. I'll leave you with another Daytona song. This is Sky High by Takanobu Mitsuyoshi. Thank you for listening. I wanna fly, sky high.
I wanna.
I wanna.